This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by OTBDiscs.com. Only the Best Discs has a huge selection with high-quality pictures of each disc, actual disc weights, flatness, and stiffness listed. Did I mention fast shipping? Get it free on your next order at OTBDiscs.com using promo code DGPODCAST. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 272 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
What is your favorite movie of all time?
Good question.
Right, that's tough. It's tough to, like, just...
Current favorite, I've been rewatching movies in a long time. There was a time where I probably would have told you something like The Shawshank Redemption or one of them, like, you know, classic ones.
Yours is way cooler. You can give like two or three that are probably like swirl around the top.
I mean, most of the movies that I love the most are comedies type things, you know, like the Grandma's Boys of the world and, you know, like that sort of thing. So in terms of like rewatchability and all that sort of stuff, the truly like masterpiece type movies, some of them, it's like hard to rewatch them as much because they're not meant for that, you know?
It's like rewatching the good M. Night Shyamalan movie, maybe two movies. It's like, okay, well, I know what's going to happen. The twist isn't a twist anymore.
So, you know, like the Super Troopers and all that sort of stuff. Like, you know, I love those movies and I've watched them thousands of times, but, you know, they're not like the best movies ever, so to speak. It could
still be a favorite.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I don't know. It's like... Ask me which one's my favorite kid.
Well, we all know you have a favorite kid. I know my favorite kid.
Yeah, we only have one. Yep. So hopefully it's Henry.
It's for sure Henry. I've got like two that I think could battle.
If this ninjas again, no, it's not.
It's actually not. It's like, so I love Surf Ninjas. I do.
I was straight up
Surf Ninjas. Honestly.
I don't
know this top 10.
God damn it.
But it's for sure top 15.
Okay.
But a movie that came out earlier than Surf Ninjas is part of my top two, which I'm assuming I've talked about on the podcast. I don't know if I have. Super Troopers is up there. That's like number one or number two, I think, given how I'm feeling that day or whatever.
My Love Actually, of course.
No, but it's not that. It is far off. But for how many people will think it's fucking a weak-ass movie, and they're fucking idiots if they say so. The only movie that I maybe have seen more times than Super Troopers is Labyrinth.
Okay.
Right. Fucking love Labyrinth.
I got traumatized by Labyrinth early on in my life.
You know what, that like there are movies that do that. I was talking to Katie like Neverending Story. Too much for me whenever I watched it. Oh, and Willow had like a few moments that were a little too much for me.
Have you watched the new Willow?
No, that's where it came from. Is Katie's like Katie loved Willow and she was like, let's watch the shit, and I'm like, okay, I can. And then she started watching it without me, so then I didn't watch it. But I'll get to it. At some point.
The new one's pretty good.
But I also love Val Kilmer, and he's all fucked, so he's not in which sucks. But
yeah, true. Yeah, cowboys suck. But no, it's great. So far I've been enjoying it. I think I watched the first two episodes.
Next question. Next question, which I assume will be equally as hard. I assume, but I could be very wrong. What is your favorite disc of all time?
Oh, the FD.
I knew it. See, I was like, he's either going to say FD or he's like, well, shit, I don't know.
You know how much I love the Buzz. I really do. Like,
you love the Buzz. You love the FD. There was a very long point in time for no good reason that you absolutely fucking love the AVR.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of good reason. Like,
they looked neat. Palmer's like, Death Room. Like
50% of the putters on the market are molded after the AVR in some way. So, like...
Oh, it's a putter. Yeah, they all are because it was like yeah, the first putter. Yeah, because it's
like the fucking...
Oh, my favorite disc is is The Rock because everything's based off of it.
I mean, that's pretty decent reason to like a disc.
My favorite disc is the fucking Whammo Frisbee. My favorite disc is the fucking pie tin, the Whammo pie tin, because it's like the original Frisbee.
I don't know what the fallacy is called that you're doing right
pie.
Now. But
it's a Frisbee pie, actually, not a Whammo, because Frisbee came from them. Anyway.
I'm too far removed from my college logic classes, but I know you've put together a couple of different fallacies here, like at least two different things there. But anyway, you know, Cowboys suck. Did I mention that?
Would you say that Thunderbird is a close second?
Third.
Buzz close second.
Buzz is close second.
Thunderbird's third. Damn it, Innova. Like, or everyone else. Can you just give me like a real logical replacement?
Can I give my reason why FD over Buzz?
Yes.
Okay. It's more fun.
Yeah. And by FD, Robin means the
S-line jackals.
No. He means the ones molded by Latitude 64.
No, I don't.
Those are his favorite FDs.
Nope. Definitely not.
He loves Italian plastic.
I do not.
It's his favorite.
I mean, I have nothing things. Wrong with Italians.
No, it's also not an FD.
Sure.
It's not an FD.
Of course, yeah. No, right.
Arguably made that multiple FDs made by Discmania while they were molded by Innova aren't FDs. Because that shit was a wild
At this range. Point, man, everybody's making everything by everybody. We can't figure it out. What are we supposed to do? All these companies, there's like five actual manufacturers in the world and like 45 companies.
I think secretly MVP is making everything. For real, like... If it's not Innova or Discraft and it's made... Well, or Gateway, but no one counts fucking... thrown shit in a...
Should we officially start the petition on this show for Simon to be able to throw the pilot?
He can throw it. I think they're just trying to, like,
push. He said in one of his videos that he is...
Oh, that he has to throw a gyro putter?
That he's supposed to throw a gyro putter.
I think you're right. Ugh.
So...
Simon would do so good.
I mean, I know they're going to make him a signature... You'd think if, like, they're spending all this money, they would have had this in the works already, though.
You know what, though? I think
they probably do. It's just
I think he could actually putt well with
Ohms
stabilizer.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I'm still going streamline.
Oh, okay.
That overstable.
What is it that Ian putts with? Anodes?
Ion.
Really? Okay. I thought it was anodes. You'd know better. You've played with them a bunch of times.
I'm 90% sure it's an ion.
Okay.
But I could definitely be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You brought it up last podcast, and I think more people would bring it up at some point. He's got to have something in the works. They've got to be making him a putter.
They would be, I won't say stupid, because that's just not, doesn't quite fully cover the range of negligence that would be MVP not having something in the works from a putter standpoint,
yeah.
Signature for Simon already at this point. Like, it should be, and of course they don't want to say anything or coming soon or whatever, and he's very public, so he's got to keep stuff hidden. But if they don't already have prototypes ready for him to check and get hand feel on, I don't care if they're just absolutely fucking copying a P2 and just making totally. It gyro. Totally.
So here's
which they could very well do. But I think that we owe MVP the benefit of the doubt in this situation, that they are for sure working on it actively and are probably close and will launch something close to the very beginning of the disc golf season, because they got to make some money off this boy, and that'd be really great way to do it.
All right, so conspiracy theory.
Is it a conspiracy theory, or are you just going to...
Not a conspiracy theory. Wild thought that I don't know that Simon had, like, if a Paul Macbeth did this, I'd be like, oh, that's a Paul move. Simon, I don't know that has this thought yet, but the MVP folks, I think, may have. We've both watched his videos, all these things.
Yes.
He's putting like dog shit.
I don't know. I mean, it was a casual round with like an MDMA dealer. So,
He's in Florida. Yeah, of course.
So
they're all MDMA dealers.
I don't know how much I put it. Like, he could have been high on a number of different things based on.
But take a step. My thought is, conspiracy theory is he purposely missing putts? So when he gets his new signature putter,
I like this,
and starts just smashing fucking chains. Folks are like, oh shit, like that's the disc. An anode doesn't just smash, but this thing.
Yeah.
Simon's putting that thing in. Like, let's go get it.
This anode with Simon's stamp on it, it is, that's called the Sanode. Simode? Simode. We'll go Simode. Yeah. I was all ready to poo-poo whatever conspiracy theory you...
Right, but then it made sense.
And I'm like, I like right? this.
It
I
does.
Like this. This is... That's some galaxy brain.
Purposely just like, oh, low, high, low. Oh, I don't know. I got to figure it out. And then it's like, boom, deeper disc. Smash chains.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Like the way he was lining up, we've done this long enough. We've done this long enough that in that distance, a putter is a putter.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to miss that many, I don't know.
A little
sus, as the kids would say.
Remember when he hit a shot on top of a moving RV on a bridge from like a creek or some shit like that? Come on.
Yep.
You're onto something here. Yep. Like that man.
I love it though, because that's not Simon 2 years ago even. That brain doesn't work that way.
No.
Like, that's not. But there's bit, like, if you saw him, like, go to the, like, warehouse to, like, headquarters, them dudes are just big brain dudes. They're not disc golf dudes. They're big brain dudes. Mm-hmm. Get that marketing genius going. Like, I'm excited for him to be like, I just can't miss. And all these just, like, meme-ass shit of just, like, trying to throw a disc away and it bouncing off and going to basket, like...
What if there's technology actually embedded in gyro? Like, what if the holy shot was actually just basically a drone? Like, you know, I mean.
Down. Sick.
Look at how they're taking over.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If it was really that good, like, wouldn't you get a little more going on that?
I don't know, man. They're just, like, saving it for like, the perfect time in the best possible stage. Maybe they made, like little adjustments here and there just to keep it real. And
I will say, through all of the Simon videos and all this shit, there is a disc I 100% want.
Okay.
What do you think it is?
Well, you already have a pyro. Yeah. You see him throwing pyros? I was
he throws them real well.
I was like, look at Joe. Joe loves his pyros.
He needs a turbulence though.
But he does need turbulence. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I don't recall enough. It's probably going to be one of the stupid overstable ones that he was throwing, because that's how you go. So octane or something like that. Or
no, I have an octane.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You tell me.
No, bro. That catch just, man, that glitch
looks
fucking rad.
Oh, I was way off.
He was cranking on that thing, and it was just going straight.
I know, but he's Simon. That's what he is.
Well, I know, but... But
see, adds fuel to your theory though. Like, oh, look, Simon threw this disc you never throw before perfectly straight. Why can't he putt from 30 feet? Like, yep, you're right. He's saving it, and then he's gonna start smashing putts and be like, this is it.
Yep, dude, that's all of it though, man.
What do you think the naming convention for Simon's line of discs is gonna be? Because all of MVP stuff has been like MVP-ish, all the stuff is like sciency.
Yeah. I don't know with Simon. I feel like it'd be smart to go like Canadian theme rather than German, because I think German you just might just have like Nazi connotation on accident.
So his putter's gonna be the I'm sorry.
Oh yes. Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, sorry about
the clink. What if they're all Letterkenny fucking shit? It's just a Letterkenny run. We need Simon back on just to talk Letterkenny. Yeah. Nothing else.
You think Simon has watched Letterkenny?
I hope so. I don't know, but I hope so. That would make my life very happy.
If there's just a putter called Figure It Out.
I kind of feel like Figure It Out would be like a fucking just a brutal, overstable, like power driver, like a. Why am I getting lost right now? Fucking just the Nitro. Most brutal. No, like a 9-speed, like Firebird esque. But
oh, okay.
Carried all of them. Yeah, I carried all of them. But I remember an OGH1, a Flare.
Yeah.
Supposedly a Captain's Raptor. We've never thrown one of those, but those look pretty brutal, overstable. Tilt. Figure It Out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the putter would be like, how are you now?
I mean, yeah, like first putt of the day, be like, all right. Real Snipe Sally.
I mean, is obviously Puppers isn't trademarked because someone just made a beer called Puppers.
Yeah.
So I feel like a Puppers could be a real good mid-range.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we need to go. I mean, with like the brands, like, you know, you don't have to get into the Gus and Brew and all that sort of stuff. Let's stick with the catchphrases.
Okay.
Plus,
okay.
Like,
we'll get this
we're
guy
alienating Puppers. A huge portion of the audience right now that, you know, sucks.
Yeah. Like the Cowboys.
Mostly Cowboys fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they definitely listen.
Anyways, we got a great show for you guys tonight.
Shit, yeah.
We're going to talk about Simon a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Disc Golf Pro Tour's European tour streaming that they've added. 7 events, fancy. I can pronounce maybe 2 of them. So,
and only one of them, by the way, Canapiste, is because my former boss told me how to pronounce it, and yeah, I brought it to exactly. The spot.
And then we'll do our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring on the course. Tonight we have the Discmania Genius, a 7-speed, 5-glide, -4 turn, and 1-fade fairway driver. And we're going to pair that with Hedge Witch by Modern Times, an 8.5% double IPA. Hopefully this one is fresher than the absolutely skunked one that Joe gave me from his trunk.
Well, that was Dawn Storm. That was a different one that you had.
Okay.
And so, mine was just fine that I drank.
Yeah, there. Cool. No, I'm glad you gave me the shit one. That was cool. It was great. Really appreciate that. It's nice.
Didn't cost you nothing.
Yeah, no.
Got that.
I mean, it
you.
Cost me like my palate and, you know.
Maybe some diarrhea later, but whatever. Don't worry about
sure.
it.
Sure. Some tummy troubles later.
Listen, my wife works for a brewery now. Between our friends that work there and her, you will get lots of free beer.
I better. So just to continue the Simon thing, because, you know, we got a few weeks before Las Vegas, right? Las Vegas Open.
I don't know.
Whatever. But
well, we kind of brought that up. I'm following players and I love them, but I don't know how much I want to report on.
We want to talk about the fun parts of disc golf.
That's right.
And Simon's fun. So we're going to talk about him.
Simon's hella
and,
fun.
And Europe, I'm freaking crazy down for European disc golf. My main question. Sorry. Getting a little sidetracked. Simon, I just like to toot my own horn and your horn as well. Not like your, as long as your horn's not a, you know.
Hey, it's all right. Toot my horn all you want, brother.
Yeah, you're right. It's fine. Joe and I speculating that the photon would be a thing, and then sure enough, video drops same day as our podcast.
Finn being like, tons of people in the comments said I should be throwing a photon. He's like, so here's a photon. I'm like, yeah, dude.
Once again, Joe and Robin taking credit for something that pretty much common sense for anyone that knows the MVP lineup whatsoever. But you know, we're gonna say that was some high level analysis by us. We did some deep research, some machine learning, used some AI tools to generate some maps and flight charts, and we're like, you know what, the photon's a really good choice.
We really just used the AI learning to make sexy pictures of each other.
That's true.
But damn, they're sexy.
Sexy.
Patreon.com/discgolfpodcast. Robin will send you his sexy pics.
Oh.
They're AI, though. Or are they? He won't, but check out our Patreon.
So really happy about that. Just, you know, feeling smart. But, and if we get the name of Simon's putter right, I'm sorry. That.
All right, let's take a real step back though. Like, what our limited knowledge of Simon.
I'm going to go with, it's going to be that Simon's Lion is going to have in some way, shape, or form a musical theme. Because I feel like sound could be something that MVP would,
but just know that like Conrad like had the Nomad wave and but stuff Conrad like Conrad had the Nomad, which is also its own world.
But it had to do with Simon, or sorry, had to do with Conrad being that sort of person, like a wanderer and whatnot. So Simon also loves music, like things like that, and like, you know, MVP going like the wave, things like that. Maybe they would go on to some sort of sound themed disc line for him. I don't know. That's my take.
That's a good thought. For now. I do know, isn't KJ's stuff is like sound themed because he's a DJ.
Oh,
he has the distortion and the
KJ
whatever.
KJ USA. Sorry, I was like with the KJ Naibo signing him going to Discraft. And,
KJ OG OG yeah. KJ.
So I'm like, wait a minute, which KJ are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see Simon having his new putter be like the turntable or whatever the fuck.
No. I think you're right. Like honestly, the Inn have already got the name that I feel like would fit well in a Simon line,
mm-hmm.
which is the savant.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Like he's just fucking good at everything.
Yeah, he really is.
Type shit.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love this. I don't think you would do it.
But it could
be
like, what if it's like the octave or something like that? Like
what
that,
if it's what
that'd
if
be
it's,
cool.
What if it's beer?
Don't think there's gonna be any. That's actually not a bad idea,
right?
Like, just name a disc beer.
Beer, hops, barley.
What do you put with beer?
Oh, this is my distance driver.
Bro, how many beers you got? I got a stack of like 15 over there, but.
This is my triple IPA. It goes real far, but you got to be able to pump it.
So how many beers do you carry in a normal round? Well, I carry two in electron plastic, and I carry a couple of protons, and then...
Dude, how easy would it be to make the disc like a fucking beer, like the bubbles, the like yellowish, like translucent?
Easy, but surely it could be done.
Simon, we got you, brother.
I don't think Simon is gonna do that. But I mean, it's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we just started a disc golf company called Beer?
Beer, yeah. And it's honestly, you actually like to buy one of our discs, you have to buy beer. It's like the perk for buying a 12-pack or a certain 12-pack you get a 12-speed driver.
No.
Hey, trademarked. Trademarked.
Got it.
Y'all can't take that. Trademarked it live on the pod.
So Disc Golf Pro Tour now has expanded their coverage to 7 European tour events. And my main question with these is, in terms of my actual interest in them, is what time are these going to be on? Because it's hard. There's so much disc golf content, by the way. It's really hard to follow all of it. And catching all of these, it's tough. And like, even I really think that, and I know they did to some degree, but they're like highlights sort of thing. But like the post-produced really helps on a lot of these tournaments, just to like, if you missed everything, I really love when I can fully digest a live tournament and like get the full story of what happened. Cause it makes it more interesting, but nobody except for the people covering it and a select few other people can actually watch 24, literally 24 hours.
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll be 100%
disc golf coverage.
100% honest. The big live stream shit is great. I jump in here and there, but it's really my big time is the last like hour of the final run that I'm like glued to it.
Or even just like courses that we know, like do we really need to like watch all the rounds of a DDO course that we've seen and is pretty boring, like the majority of the time? Like some of these courses just like, eh. Whereas, you know, I'm excited to see new courses with, I don't know a lot of these. I mean, I know, Canapiste and then
Scalethea.
Yeah, sure.
You do.
I do. Okay.
You do. That's been a tournament for a minute.
And then I feel like I remember watching,
I feel like Crokel we've seen too.
And I feel like I the Andalusia course, I feel like I remember seeing something of that, because didn't James Proctor play?
He did. He like studied abroad, yeah, and like crushed that. So that's, I would say my I feel like he's gonna roll. He's gonna go out to that and make some money.
So I'm always down to check out new courses.
No, it's great. I'm excited about that. Like, there is something huge about that. It's fun to know the course and be excited about a course, but it's also through the years that we're doing this, we've been doing this, that it's like, oh, a tournament at this course, great. I don't really care for that course. I guess I'll watch a round on it. And yeah, not only do I not care for the course, but I also know that the cell coverage for five of the holes sucks and I don't care about the course and I can't watch most of it. I'll just wait for the other things. So yeah, to have new stuff, is very exciting. But, to Debbie down a little bit, and I'll try and ramp this back, as we roll forward. I assume PDGA Euro Tour has the same trans limitations as PDGA America.
I have no idea.
I bet. If not, I would love that, but I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't think so, because it's not it. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea, but yeah, just in terms of the events themselves, it should be interesting to see other players, and it's great for all the European fans of disc golf as well.
Well, and there's tons of amazing European players.
Yeah.
There's tons.
And I guess Paul McBeth is playing in almost all of these too.
Yeah.
So, which I guess I didn't even notice it, maybe because I didn't care, but like, I guess people thought that this whole thing happened because Paul McBeth
wanted a vacation.
I don't know what it was, but it was like a strange, like, you know, conspiracies pop up all the time. Not the fun ones like we talk about.
Yeah.
But good God. Like,
why wouldn't you like, here's the thing. If you didn't know, here's the deal.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Can we retire? Here's the deal.
Sorry. I know. That's why I actually shipped it, just because, anyway. Disc golf is fucking way bigger in Europe than it is in the US.
It is. I mean,
in the majority of these countries, it's way fucking bigger per capita. Not necessarily the amount of players and everything, which, yeah, is a big ass country. It makes sense to give them some love and keep growing it there.
I mean, Paul McBeth is a smart dude, and he is making sure that he is promoting his brand. It, like, Paul McBeth can't grow his brand any more than it already is in the United States.
For sure.
Like, disc golf in the United States probably peaked a year ago.
Yeah.
Or more. And it has steadily kind of slowed a little bit. Like, things are getting, I shouldn't say peaked, because that would imply that it's never going to be any better, and it probably will. But in terms of like the spike that happened during the pandemic and everything, and like all the hype that was around disc golf, it's now subsided a bit in terms of that. And Paul McBeth knows that he's got a brand to continue to promote, and there's a whole market of people on the other side of the world that are just ready to eat up disc golf. And if he can grow his brand over there, that is just more money in his pocket. And
if he can bring his discs over there to sell them for $20 a piece instead of like the $35 they got to spend to import, doesn't matter to him, because he's not seeing the importing costs. He's going to make that money. I'm thinking, like,
I don't think he takes import costs on stuff. Like, I think he gets a royalty per disc.
True, but I'm saying if they need to spend that much to get it over there, they're buying less than if he can cut out the middleman a little bit.
No, I don't. I mean, with his own stuff, like things that he's selling directly through his own merchandise, probably. But I mean, that's probably a small fraction of his money that he makes through Discraft
for now. Do you think other big pros will follow suit?
No.
What about Simon?
Simon, for sure, yes. I mean, there's really, like, when it comes to disc golf, there's only, like, seven players that make money to the level where they can just be like, oh, I'm going to fuck off to Europe for...
Well, here's the shit, too. Here's the real shit out of all this, out of the, like, take a step back to the MVP shit. Simon, I'm sure, made good money previous.
Yeah, he did.
He is going to make... so much more than I think he thought was possible.
Probably.
Yeah. Because his brand made so much for Discmania, and I don't know. I think because he was so loyal, he was just like, that's fine. I'm getting mine. We're good. Mm-hmm. And so much more will pass through from his sales to him through this MVP deal than I feel did... ever through Discmania.
Well, I mean, you don't leave a deal and have $1 million paid to your previous manufacturer if you're not.
Totally. I guess my thought, or what I'm saying, is I think he weighed the options and he's excited, but I think even with his high hopes and where he's going to make more than he imagined he would by a decent amount.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
more than he imagined. So it's like bigger, it's greater. Like,
oh, like more than what he knows he's going to make right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dude, that shit's gonna like.
I thought you were like, I'm like, well, no shit. He left his
no. For he MVP. Knows he's gonna make a ton. He knows he's gonna make a ton, but I don't think he knows like to the magnitude that he's going to fucking.
It could be. I mean, it could be. Like, remember when Paul McBeth did his contract with Discraft and we were all blown out of the water, and then they redid it 2 years later for even more money. So, I mean, it could be like that, but I think Simon has to win some more, you know?
Like, no, totally, but I want... But for Simon... That,
I mean, Simon could not win another tournament and probably still be worth it for MVP just based on his brand and how likable he is and how much fun he is and the fact that he'll still, even if he doesn't win, be podium or top five in quite a few events and be likable and fun and full of, like, incredible shots. He'll hit, like... 5 or 6 shots every single year that just no one else can do. And everyone will be talking about Simon Lyons and talking about MVP discs and his new line and all that sort of stuff. So he doesn't have to win for it to matter. He does have to, you know, continue to be relevant.
But he will be relevant, period.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's Simon. Like, the way that James Conrad was relevant all last year and not podiums.
Conrad, what happened with James Conrad in MVP is, like, the
timing, most everything worked
amazing,
out.
Yeah. Like, the Immaculate Reception, like, all of the most improbable events that could ever happen. And you compound that by a company taking a chance on a semi high level player and just having it pay off like tenfold. You know, it's like, it's like putting a bet on a last place team, you know, with like 100-1 odds and they win the Super Bowl type thing. It's just bananas what a turnaround that was for MVP, who was already a great company. And it's not to say that they couldn't be successful, but now they're able to like push their chips into the table and really try to be, you know, like, hey, we're not just like the fourth or fifth guy here hanging around at the table. Like we're in the
top
dance
tier.
And we're going to challenge Discraft and Innova. And, you know, who does, I mean, some people throw DD and stuff, but
I think Trilogy, if you put it all together, could be at that table, maybe.
But I mean, I think it's a legitimate to project that going forward, we'll be talking about, provided that this works out well and MVP continues to print money with their, you know, Simon and Conrad discs and people continue to go over, it doesn't take much. And we've talked about it in the past, like, oh, why do they have Streamline? Why do they have Axiom? And why do they have, you know, MVP? Why not, can't they just have it all in one thing? And it's like, well, there's still a number of disc golfers out there that are like, oh, this overmold nonsense. Wow, I don't, this looks weird. I don't care about that. And so they make a solo mold brand so that, like, oh, maybe I'll try this. Oh, you know, I kind of like this. Maybe I should, like, it's a good way to get other people interested in, like, oh, why do they all have black rims? Well, there's Axiom. They got color rims. Oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Well, maybe totally. I should try this. So it's just ways to capture more market without limiting it to your original branding. So that's all they've been doing with all that. And oh, if no, they continue sure. to make good moves like they've done all along.
And ThoughtSpace and Mint.
and they're manufacturing. So they are making a bunch of other companies as well. So they are, I think that the idea that there could, the big three in the future, in the next 2 years could be, you know, Innova, Discraft and MVP. As like the, we're just, you know, whereas before we would be like, you know, it's Innova, Tier Break, you know, Discraft wasn't even relevant 5 years
ago.
Until
Paul.
No, people didn't care. People were like, oh, who throws Discraft? And then Paul comes around, and else all of a sudden everybody's got a fucking Raptor bag, in their bag.
Yeah, totally.
And Undertakers and like
all them shits.
It's amazing how fast that works and how well marketing works. But they could continue to push their chips in and be like one of the big boys at the table. They already are. They're already like, they stole one of the most profitable players in all of disc golf. They just took him.
Totally. Totally. And insider knowledge, we brought up last episode and it was confirmed. MVP is making a metric, quote unquote, shit ton of discs right now to get out to the masses. So they're in hardcore production mode, as they should, as we said, they need to, which I'm sure there will be some special ones coming out that we don't know about. I you know what? Something that Simon brought up that makes all the sense in the world, and like I've hung out with FaZe and stuff, and I like carried his bag, and something I never thought about. I don't know how I never thought about it, even with Gyro in my bag. Fucking everything has a black rim. Like, you look in your bag and you're like, shit, I'm gonna grab that. Nope, that's not the, oh, nope, uh-huh. That's, you gotta keep it either. And that's why Axiom, I think, is great, that you can get some mixed colors mm-hmm. in the Streamline. But it's so, like, you got to either keep your bag immaculately in order, or you got to take an extra 20 seconds every time
to just even make sure.
Even with multiple colored discs, how often do you and I be like, oh, shit,
I
like almost threw this, or I threw the totally wrong
And disc. Once it gets in my hand, normally, like, it's rare that I've never accidentally thrown the wrong disc. That's never happened. I don't think I have.
I 100% multiple times have played with others who have done that shit.
Really?
Totally.
Man.
Totally. Right, I threw a T-Bird and I thought it was a Thunderbird and whatever. Or,
oh man. I mean, maybe I've never done that. I have for sure gotten it in my hand and stepped up to the pad and been like, oh fuck.
Yeah, totally.
Plenty of times. Totally. Plenty of times. Hundreds of times.
Like, I think I do. I will say I can think of, I can't give you exact, but I think at least one time I've called you and be like, are you sure? Probably. Are you sure you're going to throw that?
Yeah.
And then you've been like, oh no, thanks dude. Like what? No. Oopsies.
But I can't recall a time where I've actually released the wrong disc, off the tee. I just can't think of a time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can recall thousands of times where I've released the wrong disc off of the tee, but I intended to do that.
Right. Yes. Yes. quite regularly.
But I can't recall a time where I thought I was throwing a different disc than with.
But yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, MVP just needs to stick with it, because then, like, what's the difference between MVP and Axiom?
Mm-hmm.
Simon did push, although, like, most electron discs, especially Axiom, have this. He wanted to push. He said, "Why don't they do white rims?" And then I was like, They do, but is it like, do you want black and white? Because black and white, then you could like set your bag up, but mm-hmm. if it's all white, it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's not that bad. Like, most of us order our bags and pretty good idea of what it is, you know, where they are. And so like, at worst, you're going to grab like left or right of where you think. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've gotten really close to throwing a flare instead of a jackalope a couple times.
Yeah, that could happen.
But I've caught myself.
Are you ready to get on to a deer review, Joe?
Let's do it.
All right, it is time for our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have the Disc Mania Genius, a 7-speed, 5-glide, -4 turn, 1 fade, fairway driver. And we're pairing that with Hedgewitch by Modern Times, an 8.5% double Imperial IPA. Woof. We are ready. Where do you want to start, Joe?
Did you say beer? Hazy double?
I did not. Is it a hazy double?
It is a hazy double.
Ooh, fancy. Citra and Amarillo hops. This beer is vegan also, for those that are curious.
Are there meat beers? Honestly, am I missing something? I don't think I am, but I just throw it out there.
I guess if you were to like drink your beer out of like a sausage straw or something like that.
Well, but I could make this beer non-vegan then. I could drink this with a fucking Slim Jim. That's true. I don't know.
You very well could.
Good for them, I guess, but I love Modern Times, but that has always...
It's kind of like when you get like a bubbly water and it's like gluten-free and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah, dude. Do you not realize, really?
You sons of bitches.
They're just upset that they can't put gluten-free. We just got to find the...
So anyway, where do you want to start, Joe? Disc or beer?
Let's start with the disc.
All right, I'm going to tee off on the disc because I know what you're going to say about this disc, and I just want to give the people a fair shake on it before you just absolutely shit on it.
Oh, just that it should be... similar-ish to like one of the greatest discs ever made by Discmania, and it's not.
I mean, it could be, but I mean, it's -4 turn. If I wanted to argue about the number, I would put it at a -3.5, but I'm not going to argue about the number because it is pretty much a -4.
I'll take the 1 fade. I just got a 0.
So quite understable. What I do like, it's very domey and the glide is for sure there. Like it will glide. So this falls in the category for me as a very fun disc to throw. Whereas, meaning that you can throw it with some power and put it on some pretty sweet angles and give it some loft and it will do some like really big sweeping turnovers, or you can power it down and like really power it down for me personally. So it's been a minute. Maybe we've got new listeners out there. I personally, my comfortable throwing distance in terms of like my max accurate distance is probably about 350 feet.
Wow, that's close.
So I can stretch out further than that, but in my accuracy completely drops off and I'm not really getting much further than 380 really very often. And anything further than that is just like I caught like a nice wind or something crazy happened. But is it
that bonus D?
Yeah, it's a bonus D. Yeah exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like when you actually score after midnight at a bar. Like that, it's that sort of thing. Like it happens like 2-3 times in your life.
I've been married since I was like 24. I've been in a relationship since like 20.
Okay. So it never happens for you. Yeah. But I mean, for me, you know, it's that level of success.
And not only does Robin have 4 kids with his wife, but he has 4 others from bar hookups.
I mean, maybe who knows?
Knock on wood. Nope. Anyway, sorry.
Hopefully I don't get served papers tomorrow. Jeez.
Great go.
But anyways, so the glide I feel is dead on. When I was able to power it down, I could get it to like flip up and glide and turn and like hold a nice line. To me, this is like, Like if you made the river just that much more understable, it's like in that range. Or even like, did you ever throw a diamond? I don't think we've ever reviewed the diamond.
Oh,
the Latitude 64.
I don't think so. I've played with people that threw a diamond, and I went that would go roller.
Yeah. So I mean, could roll this disc too, or even like, even like the Mamba from Innova. But the Mambas actually start out kind of stable.
A little bit.
Like
they're also like things like
for a -5. They're
a 9 or a 10, so they're a little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but yes, very, very much overstable. We got this one in a Discmania mystery box. So we have it in their Sea Lion plastic. Well, is it Sea Lion or maybe it was the first of the Italian?
No, I think it's, I still think it's.
Does it have the Rancho?
Oh, you know, it is a Genius. So that means it's, I don't know if it's Italian plastic,
but it is but Lat 64.
It's Lat 64 because that's their whatever
yeah,
that
I
line
think you're
is.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, I'll look it up. I'll tell you what it is. You can keep talking.
Active Premium.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Active Premium. What you said.
Yeah. So, but yeah, very understable. Nice glide. It could be a roller. No fade of any kind. At any point, the only chance I had at getting this to fade was underpowering it on hyzer, which resulted in probably the nicest looking controllable throws for me personally. The most fun I had with it was doing kind of a high angle hyzer, aiming to my left as a right-handed player. So throwing basically as hard as I could, aiming very high on hyzer, off to the left and letting it just turn over and ride. Like that was the most fun.
Yeah.
But you know, 7-speed understable disc plastic is nice. I like Active Premium. It was just like, I love me an FD, as I've stated before, way too understable for my,
well, yeah, here's the thing. Like I've thrown lots of flippy FDs as of you, but the FD has a real 6-glide.
Yeah.
Like at least it gets out and it's a little more stable. It's even a beat up
FD. I don't know how to evaluate.
Like I have a D-line FD that maybe is closer to the turn on this.
Yeah.
My favorite times throwing this was when I didn't. I just watched you throw it and be happy with it.
I just don't know how to evaluate glide when it's so understable that you have
it doesn't work for me. I mean, it's in that freetail world. And I will say, the more I've watched people throw freetails and heard about people throwing freetails, I have come to a realization. I've talked about it a few times, but like the for sure, without a doubt, the freetail in my bag is like the most understable line of freetail on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, there are freetails that you can like flip up and they'll like slow turn and hook up and go real far. Mine just turns over. This reminds me of that, but,
not 9-speed.
Yeah. But slower.
Yeah.
And so, which means even that same power that I put on a freetail, it turns and burns. I think the most fun thing to do, yeah, is just bomb as hard as you can, a super as hyzer as you can, as high as you can, and see if it's going to work back. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I had lots of times where it didn't work back. It ran out of room and was like,
yeah,
no, I'm just going to hit the ground and cut roll a little bit, which is fine. Super light throws work. The plastic is great. I will say, the rim, although I'm sure it lines up the same as an FD, it just feels smaller.
Hmm. It might. Yeah. I don't know.
It just feels like a smaller rim.
I mean, it has it. So like FDs, the original FD at least has a truly straight,
and that could be
straight
it.
Bevel. And the Genius has a curve to the underside of the rim. The new FDs, made by Discmania are similar there, but the new FDs are not. It's a different disc. I mean, yeah, we talked about
it. They're fake Ds.
So, so it's kind of hard to compare, but yeah, it definitely has some curve to the underside rather than a straight bevel on this one, but nice and domey,
I'll just say now that Simon is gone, we're learning so much more about Discmania. And the Eagle's still there. There's lots of still great pros there, but I watched before he left him playing Hell of Mystery Box rounds, and 95% of new discs that came out, he knows nothing about, never threw them because they're not built for him. Not at all saying I have anything close to the arm speed of Simon, but I do feel like they are rocking a lot more like beginner line stuff, which makes sense. This is very beginner friendly.
Like this, honestly, I should probably maybe let one of my kids throw it.
Yeah.
Like it would be one of those discs that, that would be great for them.
That's a step up from the Sidewinder.
Yeah.
Put that in Desi's bag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got lightweight FDs. So I'm like, you know, like
yeah, this is more turn though.
Yeah. Definitely.
There's more turn than lightweight FD.
So basically what we're getting at, like, this is a great beginner disc for someone that needs to learn understable plastic.
Time out. This is possibly a great beginner disc.
True. Yeah. Typically, I would recommend other beginner discs that I know can be gotten in more stable versions of themselves. So, like, if you're going in that range, even the new FD, which is a great disc, you could do something like that, or like the River, you know, things like that. Crave from Axiom.
If you can throw a D Buzz 250 feet, check the disc out.
Yeah. So I don't know. I hate that. Like if you can throw a putter this far, check this out or whatever. Cause like some people could probably throw a putter 250 feet and can only throw a nuke 270 feet. You know, like I bet there's people like that.
That's
you know, like, yep. So it doesn't, it all just depends on your form and what you're doing. But, if you like understable plastic and you're looking to like pick up some distance, it'd be worth it. But I think there are better choices in the understable market that would be more beneficial to most players long term in terms of building something in their bag that would stay with them as they grow as a player, rather than this, which I honestly might not be a disc for very much longer. So. Beer?
Yeah, but it might. I don't know.
Beer?
Yeah. if you want,
I love how I started this by saying, "Let me start on the disc," because Joe's just going to shit on it, and then you're like, "Well, it kind of sucks,"
and I don't really want it. And then all. I
proceeded to basically just drag it for.
Yeah, it's.
I tried. It's fun. It probably shouldn't be made to build around any part of your
bag. How many fun discs have you thrown in reviews that you're like, I fucking crushed that, it's so great, but I needed 300 feet on right and left for it to work back?
No,
but
it's
you
true.
Love that throw. How many of those discs are in your bag?
It's almost never that I bust that shot out on a course. Almost never.
Because rarely you have the room to do it.
Yeah, and it's so risky. It's just so much fun when you're doing field testing like we do with an open field where there's virtually no consequences for it and nothing to aim at. It's fun to watch and do, but then you get on the course and you're like, oh, no, never mind. I'm going to grab my Pro Thunderbird and I'm going to throw a flat shot with a hyzer finish 346 feet, and it's going to be pretty close to where I want it to be, and that's going to be fine.
Yeah. By the way, I know we talked about last episode, we'll bring it up again. That great field at my work is now been halved. It's been crushed. So.
Well, there's going to be we'll just have to play on the soccer field up above.
Yeah, we will. I'm sure.
Which will be even better. And then we'll be like, oh, so about that 350 feet, guys, we meant.
Nah, bro, we'll be crushing it.
326 feet.
Like, honestly, once that's in, we should actually think about filming things because it'll cleanly show all that.
I guess. How many videos are there of people? I don't know.
But it's not us.
I guess.
But it's not us.
So they just want to see fat guys do it instead
of. Yeah.
All right.
Fat guys talk shit on the internet for 7 years. Like, yeah. By the way, you never talk very much shit. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Except about cowboy fans. But, you know, Whatever. All right. So beer. We have Hedgewitch by Modern Times. Modern Times, it just a classic for us.
Yeah, like, yeah. They've had some little bit of turmoil here.
By the way, this doesn't say hazy anywhere on the thing.
Well, the can says hazy.
It does?
Yeah, it can says hazy double India pale ale.
Really? Where am I seeing?
Look, so where it says, so Modern Times.
Okay.
Scroll down.
Okay.
Scroll down.
Modern Times beer. It does say hazy.
It does. You thought it was fucking it's 9%. I read it.
But the can says 9% and the stuff says 8.5%.
Oh, shit. So I think we need to lie.
Uh-oh. All right. So I've been lying to people.
Oh, we got to be fucking dickholes and go to fucking Untappd instead of...
So I was... I apologize. I pulled off Beer Advocate, a Hedgewitch, which was probably a previous version.
It was at like 2019.
So the 8.5% is wrong. The one that we have is 9%, and it is a hazy double India IPA.
You know what makes you feel a little better about that? So
I said hazy double India IPA, by the way.
I knew what you meant. Yeah. So on Beer Advocate was like 95, and drinking, I was like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's a 95, and I felt like I was the dick, but now it's a whole different
thing. So I like in the prep, I'm like, I see the Beer Advocate thing. It's like this outlandishly delicious DIPA is packed with a mega dose of Citra and Amarillo hops, yielding massively tasty beer. And I'm like, ooh, this sounds great. But it does say it's hazy at its depths, bursting with big, vibrant flavors. So I mean, it's probably not far off. But now this one's 9%. I would say that I think I would have preferred the 8.5% version.
Same,
because I think this is a tad. Well, it does have all those flavors, like the citrus and the stone fruit and the tropical magic that they claim on here. It's a little boozy.
It is a little hot. A little hot.
So, ready your palate for intense pleasure. Somebody was on one when they wrote this description.
It's like a little hot.
Like
it's a little hot, and it's got like almost like there is like a little spice. Like that's what I say, a little spice on the back, but it's almost like a fermented grapefruit. Almost like
whoever wrote this description, and I'm sure it came directly from Modern Times. That person got laid within 15 minutes of writing this prior. Like it, they,
yeah.
They, oh, yeah, yeah, they yeah. rolled off of whomever and
like, I don't know, it's just like,
and just like, smash this cool. out. Like, let's ready drink, your palate for intense pleasure. Like,
let's drink this beer. Let's drink this beer. It's cool. Listen, it's a nice beer. We had in the pre-show, Robin had a fucked can, but we had Dawn Storm from Modern Times, and I liked that better. Not the skunky one Robin had, but. I had lots more of those and they're real nice. It's good. It's just, it's a little hotter than it should be. I think Robin's right. Like an 8.5 is probably right where the sweet spot is for what they're doing with it. With that said, like I'm not going to stop drinking it.
No. And oh God, no.
Like it brings it from, like a 4.7 to a 4.4. Like it's still a great beer.
Well, technically, the average on Beer Advocate is 4.33. So
it takes it from a 4.7 to 4.33 with that. But I also, you know, I'm partial to boozy ass beers. So
yeah,
it's nice. It's nice. Like I would drink it again. I've drank lots of these. There's a better life for it, a better plan for it that they stepped away from, it seems like.
Man, do we have a dud deer review right now?
I don't think it's dud. Like,
I mean, the beer's not bad.
Right. The beer's still 9%, good. It's 9% and it's not fucking
I was just looking at
crazy
at the Beer Advocate, like before I drank it, it says like world class score 95, and maybe Beer Advocate's not relevant anymore. I don't know.
It is, I think. But if this is not on there. I would drink this on the course, but I think it would be one, honestly, that I might drink a little bit faster instead of savoring it as much. Just for a little bit of heat. It's good. I would take it on the course, but I don't know that it would be like the first pick. But it'd be one like if we had four beers and we... drew straws and I got this
if
one.
If we were like, hammered and like...
No, not four beers each. I mean, if you, me, and if some other people were playing and we had four beers and we had to like draw straws and I end up with it, I wouldn't be upset.
So if like we were on a corner and one of us had
16 beers and this is my 17th, I'd be all right with it. No.
So if we're walking home and like the choice was to either kiss a hobo or drink this beer, I'd drink this beer. But
get AIDS or drink this beer, I guess I'll drink the beer. No, like there are beers that I love that I would drink this over, partially for the potency.
Uh-huh.
Like, and now they make these. They actually make 16-ounce Racer fives.
Mm-hmm.
If we had an ice chest with Racer five and this in it at a round, I'd be like, I'm taking these bad boys. Cause they're not bad. And they'll get the job done.
No, they do. Yes, they do.
I think I would take a non skunky Dawn Storm over this. Go to the pre-show patreon.com, the disc golf podcast. You can hear us briefly talk about it
briefly
and how Robbins is really bad. It's a good beer. It's not great. Good beer, not great.
Yeah, agreed.
Disc, not great. Maybe
this,
not good.
This is an 0 for 4. Should we give it like a 1 for 4? Like we both gave the beer a 0.5.
I think it's a 1 for 4.
Okay. All right. So 1 for 4, Joe. What's that rating? What are you gonna give it?
Simon's current putting.
Oh, geez. Oh man.
Until this new disc comes out. You just watch. It's gonna happen. Simon, I'm sorry I just like ruined your whole game.
I don't know. I think Casey White probably just didn't get the microdosing ratio right.
I love Casey White. he's about it.
Yeah.
Do you think Casey White is Simon's son's godfather? God, I hope so. It's probably Avery Jenkins, though.
I mean, you could have just stopped at Simon's son.
Oh, no. They're too close in age. Like, Simon's not that old. He's just an old man in the game because he's been around so long.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like 30.
Yeah.
He's like 30.
By the end of the season, Casey White is going to be wearing, like, reggae hats. And
dude, just wristbands. Dude. I love dreads. Like that would be so bad.
Sunglasses that are like 3/4 of his face. Just it's already progressing.
I love it. I'm into it.
Yeah, me
Casey,
too.
Casey, I'm supporting
Casey,
you.
Casey, you do you. We love it. All right. Well, that's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. Check out our website. Throwstuffatstuff.com. There's a joint Slack link in there.
It works.
It's a fun little community. We fixed it. We're sorry it was broken.
Thanks once again, Julian.
But if you want to chat with us, you're welcome to join there and get after it. We will welcome you as usual. And in the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA. So let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. Then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm on a high.